Great. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, musicians, for all that wonderful music and worship this morning through the power of praise. I appreciate keeping the focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and join me in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Chapter 8, if you don't have your Bible, open the Pew Bible up to page 739, and that's where you'll find Acts chapter 8. And let me give you time to find that and just kind of mark it if you want to put your finger there. And we're going to be coming to that here in a little bit and reading through the text. We're continuing to unveil our church theme for this year and the ensuing years. And the theme is Acts 1:8. We're an Acts 1:8 church. Every member a missionary, okay, simultaneously taking the gospel where? Well, from our community, okay, to the Commonwealth, to the country, to the continents. Again, all for the glory of God. Every member a missionary. By the way, how many of you brought back your bookmark from last week? Hold them up in the air. Let me see. Amen. Good. Some of you weren't here last week. You didn't get one. We want to give you one. So just hold your hand. If you need one, we've got our ushers ready to give you one. Just hold it up high and they'll find you. And eventually, even in the balcony, anybody up there need one? We've got Brother Mike up there too. Just hold your hand up high enough and long enough for them to find you, and they'll get you one. We want to invite you to get familiar with this bookmark, and be sure and bring it back with you for these Sundays during our emphasis in the month of January. Who else? I saw some up here may have gotten missed. Bruce, hey Bruce, I need one too. Thank you. I didn't bring mine back. Pastor forgot his too. Okay, but everyone else have one now. Keep. Okay, over here still, and everybody okay over here, you get one? And up here. Anybody else need one? Hold your hand up. Hugo, thank you for that. Robbie, okay, I think did we get everyone? Nope, over here, still need one? One over here. You don't have to work out today, Rob. One, there it is. All right, everybody in the next services will just have to, get by. Everyone has, okay, good. Take a look at it. Look at where it says every member a missionary. You see that? Every member a missionary. Every single member of First Baptist Church, every disciple, every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ is a missionary. Why? Because of what follows. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This passage of Scripture is where Jesus commissions every single follower to carry the good news of the gospel. You know, the most well-known Great Commission text is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, right? Where it says, as you go, do what? Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. What does it say at the end? Even to the end of the age. Has the end of the age come yet? No. So the work is unfinished. There's much more work to be done. And Jesus, therefore, was not talking merely to the disciples of 2,000 years ago. He's talking to us as well, because the end of the age has not yet come. So the work is not yet done. And so every member is a missionary. Doing what? Well, taking the gospel to these four areas. Look at it there on your bookmark, Acts 1:8. And let's just read it together, because many of you already have it memorized. But I hope that after our focus on this during the weeks of January, this will just be so fresh in your heart and mind that for the rest of our days, we'll be able to recite Acts 1:8. Jesus is speaking here, so let's read it together. You ready? Together now. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. You see those four areas of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. As you look at that verse, you see that Jesus does not say this is to be done sequentially. He does not say first go to Jerusalem, and then and only then when that's finished go to Judea. And only after you've evangelized every single person in Judea, only then go to... No. This is to be done simultaneously. The wording here is that we are to be about the business of taking the gospel simultaneously at the same time to the best of our abilities, every one of us, to those four areas. So if you turn the bookmark over, there's the reminder. Simultaneously taking the gospel to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And the easiest way to remember this is with these words, all of them beginning with the letter C. Because Jerusalem is our community of Henderson, our community. Judea would be then the greater geographical area. Well, if you looked at a map, you'd see Jerusalem, then you'd see Judea as the greater geographical area. Well, for us, you see, that would be our Commonwealth, Kentucky. And then you go still further out if you looked at a map in the back of your Bible and you'd see Samaria. Okay, so our greater geographical area and cultural area, our Samaria is the United States, North America, and then, of course, the ends of the earth, to the continents. So it's an easy way to remember that every one of us is to be about this business of being missional, okay, taking the gospel from the community to the continents. So keep that bookmark handy and keep it in your Bible like I forgot to do. And make sure you bring it with you every week during these weeks in January. Now, I want to talk about a few things. We've been using this term missional. Maybe you haven't heard that a lot. It's a good word, and I want to help us kind of get our brains around the word missional and how it is different from missions minded. I mentioned this last week in our message, and I want to come back to that. And I want to encourage you to write these definitions down somewhere in the Worship Weekly where you have a space to take notes. It's a good place to do it. Or maybe you take notes in a journal or something like that. Or maybe you can commit the entire thing to memory. But let me give you these definitions. Here's the first one, and we have a slide for this. The first one is missions-minded church. Let's go ahead and look at that slide. Missions-minded church. Now, maybe you can't read that if you're sitting in the back. I'll read it to you and encourage you just think about writing this down. It says a missions-minded church is a church whose members care about missions around the world. Members give to missions, go to mission contexts, and are involved in cross-cultural missions. Now, let's leave that up there for just a moment. Because what I want to say about being a missions-minded church is, first of all, that that's a good thing. This describes our church historically. By the grace of God, we have been very missions-minded. Thank God for that. You know, thank God that we care about folks all around the world and that we have given, I think, very generously. And many of us have had opportunities to go to various mission contexts. We have seen some people historically called out of this body and serve as career missionaries, for example, you know, all over the world. And so we're involved by being missions-minded. Now that's, again, that's a good definition. I think it's a good thing. But let me just draw attention to at least two things that it lacks. And the first thing is that it suggests that a church need only support missions, which is a good thing. We want to support missions work. But it almost suggests like that's all we need do, is just support the work of missions. The other thing that's a little lacking about this missions-minded church is that it may suggest that only certain people serve as missionaries. Some people go to various mission contexts. Some may be called to go serve for years in a country. And it almost suggests that that's sufficient. Well, the problem, you see, is it doesn't quite mirror what Jesus says in Acts 1:8 as best it can. And so the word missional helps us here. Now, let's look at the next slide. And let me talk about what a missional church is. What is a missional church? Well, I believe that this describes our church now and as it's sort of been over the years transitioning to this. And we hope even more so in the years to come. A missional church is a church whose members, and we might even say individual members, realize they need to not only support missions, but also what? Be. Very different here now. Not just supporting, but being missional. Every member a missionary right now where they are. So that members see themselves as missionaries and act missionally. We might even say think missionally, live missionally by taking the gospel to the four areas of the Great Commission. Community, Commonwealth, country, continents. Missional means we recognize individually that we are missionaries. We recognize that our church collectively is missional. and to be missionally involved in taking the gospel to those four areas to the best of our ability at the same time. And so once we come to terms with this, every one of us can affirm these two statements. And I have one more slide, and I'd like to read these to you. These two statements we would affirm. We would be able to say, my church is responsible for taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. No question about it. I would hope that that's not up for debate, that every single one of us understands that. And more in keeping with Acts 1:8, I am responsible. I am responsible. If I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I am responsible for taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, we know that's true, too, because if it's the church's responsibility, who is the church? Tell me. We are. We are. Every single one of us. So you see how this takes kind of the emphasis off of some certain people or the supporting of a group of people. It's saying every single one of us, by the grace of God and for His glory. And I can't think of anything I'd want to do more. I can't think of anything that would bring greater joy. I can't think of anything that would be more in keeping with the glory of God than fulfilling the Great Commission by saying, I am a missionary. I mean, to the best of my ability. And we're going to be talking about that in these weeks and at our missions fair and in the weeks, months, years to come about how every single one of us can be involved missionally in those four areas from the community to the continents. Now, one other thing before we read the text this morning that I feel a need to go back to and just stress is a term I used last week as well, unreached people group. Sometimes you see this as UPG in capital letters, unreached people group. What is an unreached people group? Well, first, the question may be better, what is a people group? You know, what is a PG? What is a people group? Because you're going to be hearing this an awful lot. You'll be reading about it. And some of you have already been reading in your Sunday school literature about unreached people groups. A people group is a sociological grouping of individuals who have a common affinity with one another, usually sharing the same culture and language. That's a people group. And it's really better to speak of people groups than nations when we're talking about sharing the gospel. You know, if we say, let's take the gospel to China, well, that's good. But do you recognize the fact that within China, there are hundreds of individual people groups with their own culture, with their own language, that the dialects differ from one to another? And so there are many, many, you might even say nations within the nation, or many countries within a country. There are people groups, several thousand people groups in the world. Do any of you remember from last week how many of them are unreached? Anybody? I was hoping you would because I've forgotten. Anybody know? We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. Maybe you can do some homework and check it out. Maybe you'll see in this video clip here in a moment. But I want you to think about the fact that there are people groups all over the world, that there are many of them unreached. What does it mean to be unreached? Listen, an unreached people group is a group in which less than 2% of that population is evangelical. In other words, less than 2% of that group knows Jesus Christ in a saving, personal, real way. Now, when we think of unreached people groups then, and we think of those who need to hear the saving message of the gospel, we recognize how great is the task before us and just how many there are throughout the world. I want to share with you a video clip. And as you look at the clip, this is about unreached people groups. It's put out by Pioneers, an excellent missional organization. And I want you just to listen, and I want you to look at some of the graphics. And one of the graphics, it's incidental to kind of the entire thing, but just note, in one of the pictures, you'll see a map of the world. And you'll see some of that map highlighted in orange. And that area that you see highlighted in orange is a phrase I used last week called the 1040 window. It is an area across the world, 1040 window. It stands for 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north latitude. And it's this belt, kind of a rectangular box, if you will, that goes across the world from Asia to the Middle East to North Africa. And you can just see that. And watch that when you see in a moment this clip. Look at the picture of the world, and you'll see that orange area. That is where the overwhelming majority of lost people are in the world today. Thousands of folks who have not heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many unreached people groups. How many do you remember from the population are unreached? Well, we'll have to review some of those numbers. Let's take a look at this clip. I want you to watch it. Maybe you'll see some of the answers. And remember to be thinking in terms of unreached people groups. $2.6 billion people unreached. They even narrowed it down to less than 1%, the areas in which they were speaking. Unreached. Who will reach them? Who will tell them? You can. I can. Every member is a missionary. Every one of us can either pray, can either give, can either go. Every one of us, without exception. Now, what I want to do is talk about from Acts 1, or rather Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. I want to give some principles for missional Christians. And what I want to do, I want to read this passage. And let me say this. If we didn't have the book of Acts, and we just had, you know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Paul's letters, you know, beginning in Romans, we would wonder, how in the world did the Gospel get from Jerusalem, the community, to Rome, Italy, to the continents? We would wonder, what in the world happened that got the Gospel out of the community across the world to the continents? And that's what the book of Acts is all about. And so, especially in chapter 8, we read now for the first time about how the Gospel that was centered primarily in Jerusalem for seven chapters now is now going out of the community and across to the continents. Listen for that as I read the passage. Let me invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word. I'll read verses 1 through 8 and pray, and we'll be seated. And you want to keep your Bibles open. I'll share with you some principles in the remainder of our time for every one of us that comes from this text. Acts 8, and beginning in verse 1. And most of us know the context here. Stephen, a mighty martyr, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is sharing the Gospel. And he is martyred. He is killed for his Christian testimony. And as he dies, he prays for those who are throwing the stones at him. Lord, don't lay this charge to them. Don't hold this sin against them. That's his prayer as he dies. Well, what happens then in the verses that follow? Chapter 8, verse 1. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now let's pray right here. Father, we ask that you help us now understand what this text means and how it applies, that we would leave here thinking of how we can advance the Gospel for your glory and do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please, if you will. I want to share with you some missional principles, okay? If every one of us is a missionary, then every one of us will find some benefit from principles that come right out of this text. And so I want to give you, just in the remainder of time, as quickly as I can, these items to remember today, tomorrow, this week, the weeks ahead, as you share the Gospel, as God leads you to take the Gospel from the community to the continents. Number one, here's what I wrote down in my study. We are not called to self-focused living. You're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not called to live a life that is focused on self. Remember that this commission is given to every one of us. And the work is not yet done. The end of the age has not yet come. Every one of us is to take the Gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It is not, listen, being a Christian is not about getting our personal needs met. Will that happen as we grow in Christ, as we find fellowship in a local community of faith, a great church such as First Baptist Church Henderson? Yes, praise God it will. But it is not about this primarily. The Christian life, the call to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, is not a call to a self-focused living. Pop cultural Christianity is about that, unfortunately, and there's no end to the books and the sermons, okay, and the study aids and helps that will tell you how you can, you know, achieve your greatness and spend the bulk of your time focusing on you. And meanwhile, unreached people groups remain what? Unreached. Our focus is not inward, church family. Our focus is upward to the glory of God and outward advancing the Gospel. Let us never forget that. The disciples were called to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what we're seeing happening now in this text. The stirring of them up and the scattering of them abroad to take the gospel outside of the community now to the ends of the earth and to the continents. They were not permitted to focus inwardly. And let me just say, if you're looking for a church that will cater to your every need, there are many out there that will do that. But my prayer is that First Baptist Church will be about primarily advancing the gospel to those four areas. Working as hard at reaching the continents as we do to reach the community. Working as hard to reach the Commonwealth as we do in reaching the community. Working as hard to reach the country as we do in reaching folks in our community. We are not called to a self-focused life. Can I just say, incidentally, as your pastor, one of the best ways to cure your doldrums during the wintertime or your depression or your focus inwardly is to encourage you to get up and get out of that bed and start investing your time and your love and your energies upwardly and outwardly and watch God use you and watch you find the greatest joy of what it means to live for a cause greater than yourself and to be used of God in a mighty way to take the gospel across the globe. You can do that and I can do that. Every one of us can pray, give or go. And quite frankly, if we don't, we're disobeying what God has said in His Word, pure and simple. God has given this to us for our good and for His glory. For the benefit of reaching the lost. We are not called to a self-focused life. Number two. This is very close to number one, and that is we are not called to a life of ease. We're not called to a life of ease. You know, you'll never read in the New Testament anywhere that when you become a Christian, it's going to be like Easy Street, and you're just going to, you know, receive the blessing of material wealth, and it's all about, you know, make as much as you can, store it up and enjoy it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That, you know, listen, it's not about, again, a focused inward lifestyle. It is not about a life of ease. I mean, as I read Acts chapter 8 and verses 1 through 8, that's all we need to read thus far. And we can see that this is not a call to easy living. The scattering of the church and the great persecution that comes reminds us that this is not a call to peace, you know, a peace on earth that where we never have any kind of difficulties and where, you know, we can just kind of save up our stuff and enjoy our material wealth. One of the greatest dangers for the Christian living, I believe, in this very comfortable context of Western society, is that we might become like those about whom Jesus spoke in the parable of the soils, right? You remember this in Mark 4, the third soil? What a danger this is. The seed that was sown in this soil, do you remember? It sprang up. It looked good. Things were looking really good. And what happened? The Bible says that the cares of this world, okay, the money, I believe Luke says, and the anxieties and all of those things associated with this world, all that material stuff began to what? Just choke it out so that no fruit was born. And listen, this is a warning to every one of us, isn't it? That we can become so complacent, you know, just so comfortable, so enjoying this life of ease that we forget what it means to be missional. We forget that people need the good news of the gospel all over the world. We're not called to a self-focused life. We're not called to a life of ease. Your best life is not now. Your best life is when Christ returns and He rights all of the wrongs. We yearn for that. We want as many people to enjoy that reign when Christ returns. And so that's why we take the gospel out. Because we're not called to a life of self-focused living and we're not called to a life of ease. Number three, this text teaches us that our missional work can be difficult and can be dangerous. Missional work can be difficult and it can be dangerous. Stephen just died sharing the gospel. He was obedient and he died. God honors his death. But I want you to see that missional work can be difficult and missional work can be dangerous. Do not hold this sin against him, he says. He's praying for them as he enters into glory. Great persecution, the Bible says, follows this time as the church is scattered now throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. The Bible says also that Saul, who of course later becomes Paul, not only approved, you see that in verse 1, approved of the death of Stephen, but even verse 3, he what? He made havoc of the church, right? Entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Now, I want to say, just as it's important for us to remember that we're not called to a life of ease, we need to remember that missional work can be difficult, and missional work can be dangerous. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. It's a guarantee. We live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. We must remember that. Don't be surprised when it happens. Please don't be surprised when tragedies happen. I mean, in a greater scale, in some sense, we're not really surprised when disasters come. Our heart breaks. Did not your heart break as you watched the images on TV and you saw these poor people in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, these poor people in Haiti? And we've been praying for them, haven't we? And I'll share with you how you can give to support that work there. But why does that happen? Well, to be sure, it's a mystery in some sense that we have a God who is all powerful, all good, all knowing, everywhere present. He allows these tragedies to happen. He sovereignly guides. He superintends. He overrules at will. And sometimes He allows these things to happen. But I want you to know, we're reminded that this world is not as it should be. It is cursed. It is fallen. We do, don't we? Remember this from Romans? Even the earth groans for that day when Christ returns. We're reminded that this world is not heaven on earth. Sometimes it's hell. And the church has an obligation to be missionally involved in places like Haiti, in places all over the world, lovingly advancing the good news of the gospel. And be of good cheer, says Jesus, I've overcome the world. So while there's tribulation, I'm with you, He says. I'm with you. So remember, church family, let us remember not to be comfortable here. Please, God, keep us from being comfortable here. What does it matter if we live to be 75, 85, 105? If all we've done is stored up goods for ourselves and we die, we're to be about the business of Acts 1:8, amen, taking the gospel to as many as we can simultaneously to the best of our abilities, reaching the globe for the glory of God. Who will tell them if we don't? When tribulation comes and overwhelms you, then just do as Stephen. Look up, lift up your head, as Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke. Lift up your head and look up to the heavens, for your redemption draws nigh. And you remember that whatever you face as you share the gospel in very difficult and dangerous times. Number four, our missional work can at times seem ineffective. You ever felt that way? You share the gospel and you're doing the right stuff. And sometimes it just seems like you talk to somebody, you've knocked on that door 100 times and you've prayed for that lost loved one 1,000 times, right? And you're just like, it just seems that my missional work is ineffective. It will seem that way at times. Don't you think that Saul heard the message Stephen preached in Jerusalem? I mean, the Bible says he was there consenting to the death. Don't you think he heard that? Don't you think that he had heard on more than one occasion what these Christians were doing? Of course he had. That's why he made havoc of the church. He didn't like the message. That's why he entered into the homes. That's why he arrested people. That's why he dragged them off to prison, because he didn't like the message. Don't you think his heart was a bit hard? And yet, tell me what happens to Saul. He gets born again. Amen? He gets saved. What's his name now? I mean, he's got a new name now. See, he's changed. He's different. And I want to remind you that your missional work can at times seem ineffective. And you may say, man, I'm about to give up on this person. Or I'm getting tired of being involved in evangelism when I don't see anything happening. And I want to tell you, things are happening. Please don't ever forget that. Be encouraged from Acts chapter 8. Here's a man who will come to know Jesus Christ and be so used of God that he writes 2/3 of the New Testament. Remember that when it seems that your missional work is ineffective. You go on a trip somewhere and you say, man, I never got a chance to share the gospel. All I did was drive nails all day into this wood and hold up these beams and my arms are killing me and I don't feel like I've done a thing. Hey, you have no idea what you have done until one day and you get to be with the Lord in heaven and He says, here are the people who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ out of that building you built. You just never know. Remember that. There are times when it seems our missional work and our evangelism is ineffective. But don't you forget, if you need to go back to Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 and read it 1,000 times, do it. Because there's a guy named Saul who had heard the gospel. And one day God took that gospel, took hold of his heart. And he came to know Christ savingly. I have a couple more I want to give you quickly. Number 5, God guides through missional activity. God guides through missional activity. This is a way of saying He's there, He's sovereign, He's ruling over all of this. Remember when He said, I am with you always. He is. He's there the whole time. He's here in this text. He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He's superintending, He's ruling over this persecution. This is the mystery of how God is able to take the bad of persecution in Acts 8. Okay. And turn it for the good of getting the gospel out. I mean, these folks had to leave Jerusalem because of the persecution. So God uses that persecution, you see, to stir up His followers and get them out. And so they move outwardly to their Judea and to their Samaria. And God guides through death, persecution, and imprisonment to advance the gospel. He's there. It's a mystery how He does that. I don't know how God works all things together for those who love Him, but He does all things in order to advance the gospel. So the Bible says in verses 4 and 5, look in your Bible. Therefore, those who were scattered went where? Went where? Everywhere. Had it not been for the persecution, what would have happened? We can only guess, but it seems like they would have stayed there in their community for probably a good while longer. But God superintends and He guides and He overrules and He works out good from the bad so that the people went everywhere in complete harmony with what He told them to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Be My disciples, not just in Jerusalem, but Judea and Samaria. So they went out everywhere preaching the Word. In Philip, verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ to them. And God rules over all these things, now taking the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. You know, the geographical and cultural equivalent of Samaria for us today, as I said a moment ago, would be really our country, okay? Because, again, if you just kind of look at the map of where Samaria is relative to Jerusalem, I mean, you sort of feel the same way. You've got Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. And remember, we're working our way backwards in this commission to stress that these are all to be done simultaneously. In your Sunday school class today, you've studied about, or you're studying about, taking the gospel to Samaria. Again, that the equivalent for us is our country, the United States. Geographically, certainly as we look at the lost folks in our own country, many of them in the New England area, many of them in the far west. The definition, the specific definition, again, of an unreached people group is less than 2% evangelical Christians. See, because you can kind of know about Christ and not be saved. You can believe you're saved by your good works. That's not an evangelical Christian, okay? Truly born again, less than 2%. Do you remember when Tanner Turley was with us? Tanner, a former member here, who is planting a church in the summer, this summer, in Boston, Massachusetts. Do you remember the numbers for Boston, Massachusetts? Only 2% evangelical. Only 2% of that huge, densely populated city, evangelical. Almost an unreached people group, really. So, by God's grace, we're partnering with Redemption Hill Church. Through our praying, through our giving, eventually we hope, are going. That's a trusted missional partnership so that we can reach, okay, our country. And if you think about all of the unreached people groups represented in Boston. There are people from all over the world in Boston. You reach one of those persons and they go back to their native country and they share the gospel. It's awesome how you and I can make a difference in a densely populated city such as that, where there are many people who don't know Christ, who then can come to know Christ through those of us who pray, give, and go. Now, there's no end to the missional opportunities in our country. And some of you will have great ideas to reach people in other states and cities. You might even plan a vacation where you can go and take a few days of your vacation to do some missional work of some kind while you're there. Brother Rich will be talking about doing that next Sunday evening, how his family was involved missionally in the state of Florida to reach people. Every one of us can do that. You might adopt a missionary. And by just praying for that missionary and encouraging that missionary, you're involved, you see, in one of the areas. Maybe you can't go overseas, but you can pray. And you can give. So remember that. God guides through these missional activities. He's with us. Samaria is not only geographic, it is cultural as well. And we don't have time to go into this, but most of you know that the Samaritans in the New Testament, well, and the Old Testament, you know the history that the Samaritan was of a different race and a different culture than those early Christians. And yet, they needed to hear the gospel because the gospel is for everybody. And God is no respecter of persons. Every single person deserves to hear the gospel. And so we need to cross those racial barriers, those cultural barriers, and getting the good news of the gospel to everyone. So God will guide us to do so. He guides through missional activities. And finally, number six, God changes people through missional activity. He changes people through missional activity. And that's what you see at the latter part of this text. I mean, it's a powerful passage, verses 6 through 8, as you look there in your Bible. I mean, it's awesome. You read about miracles going on and unclean spirits coming out of folks and people being healed. And finally, great joy in the city in verse 8. Why does all of that happen? How does all of that happen? Well, you back up to verse 4. Those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. The word preaching there, incidentally, is not like I'm doing now. It's not standing in a pulpit. Okay, it's not like in a church building. In the original, it's a word that means to evangelize, to share the good news. It's what every one of us is called to do. So they went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to Samaria preaching Christ to them. That's what changed the people. Preaching Christ. Preaching the gospel. Listen to me. Many things can change us, right? You can sign up. You can be involved in a support group. You can go to AA. It can change you. You work the 12-step program. Guess what? It will change you. I mean, if you put your heart, soul, mind to it, it'll change you. But it cannot permanently change you. Does that make sense? You can be involved in charitable organizations that can change you. You can give money to somebody. I mean, it'll make you a better person, make your heart feel good. But only the gospel can permanently change a soul. Only the gospel can save someone from the pit of hell and give them the glory of heaven. Only the gospel can permanently save somebody. Nothing else can do what the gospel can. And who needs the gospel, church? You tell me, who needs it? Everybody needs it. Everybody needs it. Why was there great joy in the city? Because someone had gone down there and preached Christ. There would not have been great joy there if those disciples had said, let's just stay here in our own area. Let's just enjoy our Bible studies, our nice little, you know, stuff we do here. God is calling a people of every tribe, nation, and tongue. He's counting on us, the church, to get out there and tell people so that they can have the joy you enjoy and I enjoy. And nothing, listen to me again, nothing changes a soul like the gospel. Nothing can permanently change us like Jesus. Let's pray. Stand for prayer as I pray for you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray first of all for those in this building and listening to this message who have not been changed, permanently changed by the power of the gospel. And Father, my prayer is first and foremost for anyone who needs to be saved. God, we recognize that the Bible teaches that we're not saved by what we do. We're not saved by being a good person. We're not saved by giving good works and time and money. That the only way we can be saved is to humbly come before You and admit that we are sinners and that we'll never be what we should be because of sin. And Father, we thank You that all we need do is turn from that sin and turn to You, which is all repentance is, changing our mind, changing our ways, turning away from that self-focused living and turning to You upwardly and believing that Jesus died for our shame and our guilt and our sin and our filth, and that He took the punishment we deserved, and that when He was buried, a wonderfully supernatural event happened on the third day. By Your power, You raised Jesus Christ from the dead to show You're satisfied with this substitutionary death, satisfied with what Christ has done for others, satisfied that all of our sin is cared for, completely taken care of in Christ Jesus, in His death. And by Your power, raising Him from the dead, that we might be raised as well. Now, God, we know that we must believe that. We must receive Christ into our lives. That we must live under the Lordship of Christ, meaning He's number one and nothing comes close. So my prayer is, God, first, a prayer of thank You. Every one of us saying thank You, those of us who know You savingly. Thank You. And now, God, asking, please, as we prepare to bring this service to a culmination of invitation, my prayer, God, is that anyone who needs to be saved in this moment would sense Your Holy Spirit drawing them to Your side. God, I just ask that You do that work in the hearts of those who need to be saved. Please, bring conviction. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, it may be that you're one of those persons and you'd say, you know what? I really need to be saved. I mean, I understand this isn't about being a church member. It isn't about even being baptized. It's about coming face to face with my Creator and saying yes to Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sin. Christ, come into my life and change me. I want to say, if you've never done that, now is your time. And it may be the only time you have. None of us knows. But as we sing here in a moment, I'm going to invite you to leave your place in the pew. If you sense that God is dealing with you and you just sense that He is tugging at your heart, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to make your way to the front here. You can come to me, or perhaps another minister will be standing up here and just say, look, I need to be saved. I mean, I want to be sure that when I die, I go to be with the Lord in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I need to have peace with God, make sure my sins have been forgiven. If you don't know that, you come while there's time. Some of you need to do that. You come. Others of you, as we sing in a moment, it may be God's leading you to join this church. You know, you've been visiting and you say, man, I want to be a part of a church that thinks as big of God as First Baptist Church. I mean, I want to reach the continents. I want to do more than just kind of be focused inwardly. I mean, I want to be used of God to in a powerful way, just reach across this globe with a loving, powerful, life-changing message of the gospel. And you'd say, man, I want to be a member of this church. Our doors are open to receive you. You make your way to the front. And maybe you need to just take the hand of a friend or a loved one and say, let's go together. I need your support. And make your way to the front as we sing here in a moment. Father, we just pray now that while we worship You in this invitation, that we'll be obedient to Your call and we'll step out and we'll come boldly for Your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, church. As we sing, as we worship, come right now. Come be saved. Come join the church. Come however He's leading. But come.
Master, Thou callest, I gladly obey.
Amen. Just step out and come. Say, I want to be saved. I want to be different. What's my mission, Lord? I want to do it.
The mission appointed for me.
Amen. Tell me what You want me to do. And where?
Shall be.
Come now, as He leads you, come.
Thou callest,
tell Him.
And this I reply.
Amen, I'm ready.
Ready,
I'm willing. Hear my Lord.
Lord, here am I.
Amen, man, I feel like I can just sing that with you, verse after verse after verse. It's a worship song. It's a commitment to the Lord. But it is time. We must carry on now to Sunday school. And I want to share with you a few announcements, very important for you. Number one, some of you have asked, how can I give to support work being done in Haiti? I want to be sure my money gets there and it's used for the right thing. There are two ways. One way is you can write a check to First Baptist Church and just note in the memo part of it, Haiti Relief. Okay, Haiti Relief. And you say, well, where will that go? Well, that will go to, and you can also find this online, Baptist Global Response. It is a wonderful organization that will use your monies for disaster relief in Haiti. And you can go online to Baptist Global Response. Those of you on Facebook, you can look at the Facebook page on my Facebook page. I've got the link there, and you can just click on that, and it'll take you right there. If you want to give online, you can give that way. That's a great way to give to relief efforts going on in Haiti. I hope in the future we'll learn of ways we can go over there and do some work, as I'm sure we'll have opportunity to do so, especially as the media forgets it becomes not newsworthy anymore. Let's remember, this work's going to go on for years over there. And so let's look for those opportunities to go. Centra Kid Camp meeting today at 4. Parents of 4th grade and 5th graders and 4th and 5th graders. Fellowship hall today at 4. This is for the camp at Georgetown College, Centra Kid Camp. That'll be June 21 to 25. It's on the back of your worship weekly. You can see that too. Men's conference, Johnny Hunt, men's conference in Atlanta. First Baptist, Woodstock. We went last year, had a great time. I want to invite all of you men to go to this. I'm taking my oldest son again this year, taking him out of school. It's that good. But it is, it's a conference, you know, he'll get some good education. And listen, I mean that seriously, it's really good. It's very powerful. Those of you who went last year know that. If you didn't get to go, men, go. I forget, what's the price? $70 covers everything. Your room, I mean, the conference itself, a manly meal on Friday night. You know what I'm talking about? Not rabbit food, guys. Manly meal. And just a great time. Just fellowship going down there and coming back. We'll leave Friday, February the 5th, return Saturday evening on the 6th. Scholarships are available. Ladies, get your man to go. Don't have him say, well, we just can't afford it, or I can only pay for half of it. Hey, we want to know that, because scholarships are available for him to go, okay? So go. All right. Evansville Christian School has established, as many of you know, a school campus right here, First Baptist Church, again offering half-day and full-day kindergarten for the 2010-2011 year. I'll remind you of this next Sunday, but there'll be an open house Tuesday, January 26th at 9 and at 5 for 45-minute sessions, where you can get more information about half-day and full-day kindergarten. Great school. So far, I mean, it's just gone really well here, this partnership, and look forward to another year of that. Now, new members, remember the luncheon right after the last service. As quickly as you can, get into the fellowship hall. All of our new members, this is the new member luncheon. Most of you got a letter. If you didn't, it's my fault. It slipped through the cracks. I'll take the blame for it. But come. And maybe you've been visiting for many, many weeks, and you're like, we know we're going to join. We just haven't done it yet. You're invited as well. Please just come in to the new member luncheon. Be about an hour, hour and a half. Somewhere. We're just going to eat in fellowship. I'll share a few words. We've got some gifts we want to give you as well. New member luncheon, the fellowship hall, right after the 11 o'clock service. And one other thing before we pray, and we're dismissed. And I know we're running late. We got another service starting in 3 minutes. Okay. Tonight, don't miss tonight, special commissioning service for Doug and Barb Musgrave, who are going. They're right here. Y'all raise your hands. Doug and Barb Musgrave. Serving in Africa. This is their last Sunday with us. Special service tonight. Several of our members will be involved in praying and just affirming them, sending them off. It's going to be awesome. That's tonight at 6 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you back this evening. Let's pray and be dismissed. Alan, thank you for all you do. Pray for us, please, if you will.
Father, as we leave this place this morning, we pray that we'll also move out of our comfort zones, Father. Not be afraid to be a Christian, nor to be a missionary for you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Now as we turn to leave this place, your message will proclaim. Our praise accept, our hearts reflect the bounties of your name.
press you out at 9:44.